Grace, mercy, and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray that you open our hearts to hear the words that you have for us today. Fill me with your Spirit, that the words that come out of my mouth are the ones that you have for me, not the ones that I've prepared. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as most of you know, I am studying to become a pastor officially now because I've started studying. They call me a vicar, which means I'm taking lots of classes to learn how to be a pastor. The last class I've been taking is a preaching class, and over the last couple months, I used to be able to be up here a little bit more regularly, but I've been real busy with the classes and some other things going on, and haven't been able to preach and share with you. I've missed it. You know, actually, when I considered being a pastor and felt the call of God in my life, probably my biggest complaint was, I don't want to preach to adults. I enjoy talking with kids, because they really follow everything you say. And I just didn't know that being with adults, I would really enjoy that a whole lot. Well, I've changed that a lot. I've actually missed preaching and sharing with you. And in the last couple months, as I've gone through some of these classes, some really cool things have happened. I've heard some really dynamic speakers in different conferences and thought, boy, I wish I could be really dynamic like those speakers. A couple weeks ago, I think I shared with you in the sharing time about the gospel choir that was here. This building here was packed. Every single seat was filled. It was overflowing. And between the gospel music that was being played, there were some incredibly dynamic preachers. I thought, I want to be just like those guys. Cool. The last couple weeks, we've had our upward basketball. And during halftime, I've been able to share with the folks in a gymnasium. And to be able to hold the attention of people in a gymnasium between basketball halftimes, you have to get a little bit dynamic, right? And so I was excited when Pastor said, Paul, you're going to preach when I'm down in Mississippi. I said, all right, I'm going to learn some of these things that I've been more dynamic with. I'm going to really put that into practice. And he told me, the thing you're going to preach on is the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude. Awesome. That is something I can be really dynamic about, right? Well, before I get started in talking about the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude, I want to remind you about the spiritual disciplines. The spiritual disciplines are things that are not the law. These are not things that God is saying, you have to do, so that we get caught up in saying, I'm doing this because God has told me to. But rather, a spiritual discipline is something that as we do them, we're going to naturally grow closer to the Lord. We're naturally going to find a peace that transcends all other peace, something that can only come from the Lord. We'll go closer to Him. We'll find direction from Him, and the blessings we receive are something that will make us want to do this more and more. But as we get into these spiritual disciplines, we're going to find that the devil is going to attack us even more than when we weren't practicing these things. So we have to be careful of those traps. But keep in mind, this is not something that God says, you must do. But rather, when we do them, we find the blessing that is received so much greater. So today, we're going to focus on solitude and silence. These are spiritual disciplines of abstinence, so to speak. Abstinence of the things and the busyness of our life. I know, for me personally, when people come up to me and say, how are things going, Paul? I'm sure you've heard me say, what's my response? Crazy busy. Well, the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude helps prevent you from being crazy busy. Solitude and silence make you find space in your life, space in our souls and space in our lives for God to do a deep work inside of you, time to work and grow closer to God. The point of your time in solitude and silence is not to do something. It's rather to do nothing and not to try to make things happen. Isn't that completely contrary to the way our society works? Aren't we supposed to make a way for ourselves? Aren't we supposed to move forward and make our plans? But rather, in silence and solitude, we do nothing and we don't make things happen. We wait and we listen for God. Well, why would we do it? Why would we have silence and solitude? I think the most basic and simple answer is because Jesus did. Isn't that the perfect reason? When things got busy for Jesus, what did he do? He retreated to silence
in solitude.
We heard with the children's message, we heard in the gospel reading, that when people were crowding around him, when things were getting crazy in his life, what did he do? He retreated to be with lots of people? No, he retreated to be alone so he could hear God's call in his life, to hear where he should go, what he should do next. What did Jesus do during the busiest week, the craziest week of his life? We go back to Maundy Thursday. Right after they were in the upper room celebrating the First Communion, Jesus then went with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. Then he took three of them closer, and then he left them, and he went and did what? He prayed. With lots of other people? No, in silence and solitude. Why? Why did he do that? He knew that there were some pretty important decisions he had to make. Decisions of, do I follow God's will to take on the sins and the punishment that we deserve? Could not have been an easy thing. Jesus was God and man all at once. That means, as man, he was tempted by the devil. Jesus, as he began his public ministry, went into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. Don't we often, when we think about that, go, whoa, 40 days in the desert? That is not for me. That sounds horrible. And we kind of get this little pity party for Jesus, like, wow. But when we really listen to that, what was happening? Who was attending to Jesus? If you go back and look in the Bible, it says the angels were attending to Jesus as he was in fellowship with God, listening to God, what he was saying. So Jesus was the perfect example of solitude and silence. But it didn't just stop there. As the early church continued on, we hear about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul then said in, Acts 9, verse 9. Paul knew the importance of silence and solitude because after he had his encounter with the risen Christ, he spent 3 days in solitude and silence. You know what? After you hear an encounter with God, don't you want to be with him even more? So that's what God did. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He spent time in silence and solitude contemplating, God, what do you want me to do? And then it moves on. After he was ministered to by Ananias and visiting with the disciples, he withdrew to converse with Christ where? In the desert for 3 years. To converse with Christ. You can find that in Galatians 1, verses 15 and 16. And as a reminder, I forgot to say this at the beginning, a lot of the Bible references that I'm going to refer to are in this spiritual disciplines pamphlet the pastors referred to the last couple weeks. You can pick those up back there if you haven't already. Not all these passages are in there, but you can write them down if you want. But in Galatians 1, verses 15 and 16, we hear about how the Apostle Paul went to the desert for 3 years to listen to what God was saying. Then, we can even go back in history, go to the Old Testament. We hear of how the prophets Moses, Elijah, Habakkuk, all went out to the desert to be with lots of other people. Because that's where a lot of people hang out, right, is in the desert. No, they went to the desert to be alone, in solitude and silence, to hear what God had to say for them. Then we go to early church history. And we all know that Pastor Brian's a history buff, especially for the early church. And we hear about St. Anthony. St. Anthony was one of the first people that were inspired by what he was hearing about the early church folks. And while Jesus went to the desert, so he also went to the desert. He heard the message of Mark 10, verse 21. It says, give everything you own to the poor. So he sold his parents' estate. He made sure his sister was taken care of, gave her enough money to support herself, gave the rest to the church, and then he went out to the desert. And this is kind of where the Catholic Church gets the monks, and they start a lot of monasteries out in the desert. St. Anthony then did that, and he, through God's leading, brought so much healing to the church, brought so many people to be healed through God's Spirit, listening to what God was in silence and solitude out in the desert. We don't have any deserts close by, do we? I'm not suggesting that you need to move out to the desert to hear God's word. You know, we don't have to be a monk to go to a monastery to be silent. One of the neatest examples that I have of somebody finding solace, silence and solitude would be Chuck Fenton. You guys remember Chuck? Now lives in Minnesota. We bought his house. And as we were looking at the house, one of the very first things he did, he took us down into the basement. down to the basement and showed us his prayer chair in the back room of the basement, where, by the way, there's no cell phone coverage. You can disconnect completely from the world and focus completely on God. And he shared with me that he had this room in the back of his basement with this prayer chair that he would spend every day in silence and solitude to hear what God would have for him. What a great example for us, isn't it? We hear how the early church did it. We hear how Jesus did it. We hear how the Old Testament followers of God did this. Why wouldn't we do that? So often we get so caught up in the busyness of moving here and moving there. Well, a less obvious way to find quiet and solitude is just to take 5 minutes a day. Start with 5 minutes. Let your spouse know, let your coworkers know that you need 5 minutes to be alone with God. I'm sure that after you start that, it'll be longer and longer. But it's immensely valuable to periodically set aside time. And as you grow in that time, set aside a day, a week, to be alone with God. Now, if you start going to those times, a day or a week, you will have to make sure people know that you're not just disconnecting from them, but you're doing it to be closer to the Lord. But Jesus did it for 40 days in the desert, didn't he? Could we find a day to be quiet and listen to what God has for us? Could we find a week to do it? But I want to caution you. It's not easy, especially if you're an extrovert. A lot of us are extroverts that want to go out and talk and share and be open with people, right? And what happens if you're one of those people? It's tough. You get antsy. And even if you're not, as we start, silence and solitude is not a quiet and therapeutic place. There's a writer from the early church history by the name of Henry Nguyen. He's a Dutch-born Catholic priest. I'm not sure if you've heard of him, but he wrote in a book called The Way of the Heart. And forgive me as I read this, but it's something that really is interesting as you think about solitude and silence. He writes, "Solitude is not a private therapeutic place. Rather, it's a place of conversation, conversion, the place where the old self dies and the new self is born. In solitude, I get rid of my scaffolding. No friends to talk with, no telephone calls to make, no meetings to attend, no music to entertain, no books to distract, just me. Naked, vulnerable, weak, sinful, deprived, broken, nothingness. It's in this nothingness that I have to face in my solitude, a nothingness so dreadful that everything in me wants to run to my friends, my work, and my distractions, so that I can forget my nothingness and make myself believe that I am worth something. But that's not all. As soon as I decide to stay in my solitude, confusing ideas, disturbing images, wild fantasies, and weird associations jump about in my mind like monkeys in a banana tree. Anger and greed begin to show their ugly faces. I give long, hostile speeches to my enemies and dream lustful dreams in which I am wealthy, influential, and very attractive, or poor, ugly, and in need of immediate consolation. Thus, I try again to run from the dark abyss of my nothingness and restore my false self in all its vain glory. The wisdom of the desert is that this confrontation with our own frightening nothingness forces us to surrender ourselves totally and unconditionally to the Lord Jesus Christ." So hearing this from someone that's been there and done that tells us that it's not all easy. When you go to the Lord in silence and solitude, who's going to be there to creep in? Satan. He doesn't want you to grow closer to him. He's going to bring out those evil thoughts, that temptation, those things that make you feel vulnerable and scared. Because when you're by yourself, there's nothing to build you up again. But then it makes you confront that and makes you give it to the Lord. Makes you have the time and the opportunity to share with him and be completely open and honest with the Lord and give those concerns, those fears, those worries, that doubt that you have about yourself and the ministry that God has given to you, to the Lord, and allows him to share with you the value that you are to him. It allows him to speak back with you in that quietness to listen to what he has to say. When we practice this, the solitude and silence with God is more about this purifying peace and hearing God's voice, but it's also about being empowered to maintain our focus on God in the busyness, in the craziness, to be able to focus on what he has for us and what he has. The desert or the closet or the basement chair, Whatever it is that you go to find this is a strength for the beginner, as it was for Christ and for Paul. But it's in this stark aloneness, it's possible to have silence. It's possible then to listen to what God has for us. But then the ultimate test is the change in us. When we do this, it gives us a love and a peace that transcends all other love, all other peace that we could ever have. It allows us to be able to have the patience that we would never ever have before on our own, doesn't it? Each day is we have a lot of practical opportunities to practice the love that God will share with us, don't we? How easy is it to turn the cheek when we're insulted? Not very, is it? How easy is it to bless those that are cursing us? How easy is it to let someone cut in front of us, whether it's on the road or at the checkout lane, just smile and wave with all five fingers? How easy is it to do that? How easy is it to let somebody else speak ahead of you in a meeting or in a regular conversation? How easy is it to do these menial tasks that we do every day without drawing attention to ourselves? Say, look what I did. How easy is it to keep quiet about an achievement because God's attention is enough for you? But when we draw close to God, when we listen in silence and solitude, we have that opportunity. We have the ability to listen to what God is doing, and He builds us up. He gives us the strength and the confidence to do that, which we can't do on our own. But don't misunderstand that this is the way we should live our lives, always being silent. In fact, in Ecclesiastes, he says, there's a time to be silent and a time to speak. As much as it's good to hold your tongue, there is also a time to share with God, to share and talk with other people. It doesn't mean that we don't have to have boundaries. It doesn't mean that we should let everybody walk all over us. Jesus modeled this wise appointment. He also knew when it was time to be quiet, but he also knew when he should speak up and share truth with others. In solitude and silence, we go into training with Jesus. We go into fellowship with Him and listen to the call in our life. He's there sending His angels to attend to you and to be with you. What greater thing is there in our life? Can we ask for anything else? So take time. If you've never done it before, start with 5 minutes and build up from there. As we hear, God will bless it. God will be with you, and He will send His angels to attend to you. Amen.